Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 3, Episode 9. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet. And I'm David Todd from ESPN.com. Dave, we haven't had a chance to be on the air since the Steelers took the field against the Buffalo Bills. Not a great start to that game, and of course we'll get into the injury to David DeCastro. That's the big news coming out of the game. But they certainly put things together toward the end of the first half and the second half. And we'll get to this, but there are probably a lot of things just news-wise that we'll get to before we break the game down. And first and foremost, I guess, is the Steelers make a roster move. They, along with every other team, had to get from 90 to 75 by yesterday's 4 p.m. date, and they cut 15 guys. And, I'll just read them real quickly, and then we can go through them. There's linebacker Ryan Baker, defensive tackle Mike Blanc, wide receiver Paul Cox, cornerback Andre Freeman, kicker Danny Ratman, linebacker Morty Ivey, who was waived injured, offensive lineman Kyle Jolly, long snapper Matt Gotula, tight end Jamie McCoy, cornerback Walter McFadden, tight end Justin Peel, safety Myron Roll, wide receiver Jamora Stewart, defensive tackle Cade Weston, and wide receiver Jimmy Young. It's a non-distinguished group, but there are probably four or five names that you and I even probably find worth talking about.
Yeah, we'll get to Morty Ivey for starters there. Danny Ratman, of course, could not beat out Sean Swisham. And releasing him this early is a vote of confidence for Sean Swisham. And let's face it, Swisham, they gave him a four-year deal prior to the start of last year. And, he didn't do anything to deserve being cut. He was kicking out of the end zone. He made all of his field goal attempts and all like that. So, I still stand by that I would be surprised if Swisham makes it through the whole entire season. But right now there's just no reason to cut him when you're talking about a small dead money hit this year and another $600,000 dead money hit in 2013, as soon as you cut him. So, that it's not surprising that Ratman did not beat him out. The other name probably on the list, Jamie McCoy. I thought he would have survived at least this round of cuts, and then been.
Yep, I'm with you on that one.
And then been cut the next go around, but he absolutely did nothing. I mean, when you throw in the two block and the back penalties in that first preseason game, when you throw in the fact that since being moved to fullback, he really has not looked impressive at all. Out the door he went. Morty Ivey, I posted on Twitter during that game. Right when Morty Ivey got shot in the back of the leg, and by shot in the back of the leg, I mean that hamstring, you could just see it grab on him. And evidently it was bad enough because they did waive him injured. Now, you and I are difference of opinion in this, but ever since the injury to Stephenson Sylvester, the knee injury, Morty Ivey's been worked at both outside spots. He's played inside before last preseason and in practices. He has that. He's played early on the punts and the kickoff return teams, special teams-wise. In my opinion, this guy that was indeed going to make the roster now, especially ever since Sylvester went down, is going to miss the opener. But I talked to him on Twitter, and that hamstring injury was just good enough that it was going to keep him out, a couple, 3 weeks. At least. So they went ahead and waived him injured, most likely going to be with some sort of small settlement. But now he's out the door.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes. He's very unlikely to get picked up here. Maybe the Steelers trying to sneak him through, and we'll look to re-sign him to the practice squad.
He's not eligible, though.
Oh, he is not. It's not. He dressed enough games, or it's his fourth year?
He's got time with the Panthers on the 53. He's got time with.
Okay, I didn't realize he had time with the Panthers on the 53. So if he's got more than a full season of accrual toward free agency, he is not eligible.
I did a whole post on that, David, where I went back and looked at his eligibility, and he's not eligible. I'll keep keep going here, and I'll pull up that post to tell you
why.
Yeah,
well, you know, interesting, because I would have thought, depending on the severity of the injury, that he was a guy who had a, you know, had a chance at the 53-man. I think the emergence of Adrian Robinson certainly didn't help Morty Ivey. And I don't know, but maybe we can read into this that the Steelers take some comfort in where James Harrison and Jason Worlds are. Now, you know, it's hard for anybody who's not involved in the organization to read much into that, because the Steelers have not been forthcoming in that kind of stuff at all. Basically, the answer has been spring it on everybody at the same time. We saw it with Rashard Mendenhall and Casey Hampton. We saw it with Max Starks. So there's no reason to really speculate on when Harrison and Worlds will become active. But a move like that might tend to tell you that maybe they feel like certainly come maybe even Thursday or Friday that we'll see these guys removed from the pup list, maybe even as early as today. If they want to get that acclimation period in, it wouldn't be a surprise to see the Steelers make a move today and take James Harrison and or Jason Worlds off the pup list. So that's something to pay attention to when we're thinking about these numbers. Dave, the other guys on the list, you know, long snapper Matt Kutula is a serviceable guy. They're probably doing him a favor. Said that Greg Warren is going to be our guy. Kutula can go out and try and compete for a job. Justin Peel was just brought in. Myron Roll, we've talked a fair bit about. He never really had a chance. He's a great story, but he was never in contention for a real position. And then Cade Weston was a guy who early in camp looked okay. He'd been around the fringes of the roster, but really kind of didn't do anything to distinguish himself once they put the lights on. So the rest of the list, no real surprises. I will say maybe I'm a tad surprised that my Yale boy Jake Stoller made it through the list down to 75. And with Mike Wallace coming in today, the Steelers, assuming he signs, will have to cut one more player because he was not required to be put on the roster, even though he was on the group to 90. He wasn't needed to be on the group to get to 75. So if he signs his contract today, there'll be another cut. And the one addition, as you posted about, is the running back the Steelers signed, a kid who was an undrafted free agent out of Troy, who was with Jacksonville last year. I guess he rushed for 42 yards, returned a bunch of kicks. What's his name? Harris? DeJuan Harris?
Yeah, and this is just a body here. You know, in fact, you know, Mark Cabali said that they didn't have to, move a player because of Wallace. Evidently, there's... Here's what I'm thinking. I think Wallace had to be put on the do not report list. And I think that is in effect right now after the first cutdown date. But you know, I'm not sure because how it works because of the tender situation there. But regardless, DeJuan Harris, you know, he's being signed because they need a body. Because, first of all, if Redmond even plays in this game Thursday night, he's going to touch the ball once or twice. Same with Dwyer. He might get three carries there. You need bodies. And Cabali also told me that he did not think Jason Ford worked yesterday. This is the running back that they had signed late from out of Illinois that got a hamstring injury. It would not surprise me to see them waive Jason Ford injured possibly as early as today, as soon as Mike Wallace signs that tender. But yeah, I looked.
Yeah, in fact, on Twitter from his conversation, he talked about going to see his high school team play. I don't know if you saw that post, but you saw it about mentioned it, talking about seeing his high school team play in a few weeks. So to me, that was a clear sign that he's pretty much going to be done probably later today, as you pointed out.
Who's that? Jason Ford.
Yes.
Yeah, it would not surprise me to see him wave injured today. So, yeah, absolutely there.
A little bit of a bad break for him, too. You know, I don't know much about the guy, but he did a couple of nice things in that game, and he would have certainly gotten an extensive opportunity to play against Carolina and at least get more stuff on tape. So some bad luck for him.
Yeah, I wanted to see him play some fullback. You know, this is a kid that big, beefy kid. So, you know, we saw what he could do with the ball in his hands. I was interested to see if they would give him a snap or, you know, a couple snaps there at the fullback position, being as how Jamie McCoy certainly didn't want to take snaps there. It didn't seem like as the backup fullback, but we'll never know now. But Morty Ivey, let's see, he has spent time on the Carolina Panthers practice squad, stints on the Dolphins and the Rams, and I think he has enough games on the active roster now and in between practice squads that he is no longer eligible for the practice squad. So You know, it was do or die for him. I posted this back in late June, as far as his status goes. So yeah, he's out of eligibility. You know, there's the rule that if you're active for six or more games and or 3 years on a practice squad, you know, you're not eligible. And I remember researching it down. He should not be eligible. But you know, outside of McCoy there that we mentioned and Red Ratman, really no other surprises as far as the cuts go. And then of course on Friday they'll have to cut down to the 53. And one name that's probably going to be on that 53 is David DeCastro.
It certainly looks like, from what we heard from Mark Caballa yesterday, that David DeCastro is going to be on the 53. All of a sudden, they're talking about looking at him coming back sometime in midseason. It seems, you know, it would seem aggressive if it was an ACL tear, but it's not an ACL tear. That's the important point. It's an MCL tear, a kneecap dislocation, and maybe some fraying of the patellar tendon. They're going to know a lot more tomorrow. So, again, all these guys are speculating from what the Steelers, from the information they're getting, and that's the right thing to do. But I think, you know, the definitive answer will come tomorrow. And, of course, we'll know all of this by Friday at 9 p.m. When the final cutdown is made. But if I guess according to what they've seen from the pictures and the swelling and things like that, they feel like the damage isn't that great. And if he can come back and just even get practice time and possibly game time, the second half of the season, that will go a long way in his development. So I'm sure that's the reason why. And I guess, you know, we've seen they're going to start the season basically a man short because Rashard Mendenhall is unlikely to be active or able to do much the first week or couple weeks. We're not sure about Worlds. We're not sure about Harrison. We're not sure about Hampton. So, you know, the Steelers on the 53-man, effectively they may have a 48 or 49-man. You hope they don't get too dinged up here from here to opening game because you're going to have your 46 active, I guess, now. But they're not going to have a lot of wiggle room in who's active and who isn't.
No, there should, you know, every week I like to do predict the seven guys that will be on the inactive list. If I don't go 100% in week one, I'm in trouble because, yeah, as you said, you know, DeCastro, hey, you can understand this decision with DeCastro, especially, you know, depending on what they find in there with surgery on Wednesday. And Mike Tomlin said he was going to update, I'm assuming after the Thursday night game, as far as what they find there, to my understanding, as far as there's, you know, as long as there's not too much damage, like a bone chip or something with the dislocation of the kneecap, which seems to be the biggest aspect of the injury that he suffered, you know, MCL tear, you know, you're talking, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 weeks, I guess, you know, that's not the big thing here. I think it's the damage to the patellar tendon and the actual dislocation is what they're trying to, you know, is the biggest worry there. Hey, you know, at least he didn't tear his ACL. That's the positive there. And, you know, if they can get away with carrying him for the first 4 or 5 weeks at the very minimum, just to see how his rehab's going, you know, that's fine. You know, if you got the roster spot to do that and you feel that this is a kid that could be back possibly mid-season, you know, let's just say by both of the Ravens games, I think you definitely take that chance. Now here's the thing, though. That roster spot's got to come from somewhere, especially with all these linebackers down, you know, and as you put it, we don't know what's going to happen with Worlds or Harrison. I'm starting to think that Jason Worlds very well could end up on the PUP list. And, you know, do you start thinking about carrying the you know, two quarterbacks here? Do you go ahead and put Jared Johnson on the practice squad? Do you go ahead and take the risk of go ahead and cut Charlie Batch and have him sit at home there, you know, for a couple of weeks until people on the roster get healthy? But, you know, you're going to have to accommodate this guy on what's already a thin roster due to injury right now. So,
and let's touch on that quarterback thing one more time, because this is something I brought up a couple of weeks ago, and it's an easy move for the Steelers. And, you know, there is some talk that they do like Gerard Johnson and they'd like to get him to the practice squad. If that's the case, and if none of the guys get injured over the course of this week, I still think there's a real they've got a real benefit with Charlie Batch. It's a negative for Charlie Batch, but I just don't see another team looking to sign him, bring him in as a backup who's not going to be competitive for the starting position. You wouldn't bring him in as a third-string guy. He won't be particularly expensive, but I just don't see it happening at this point in anybody's camp. And the Steelers have the benefit of knowing that he's a phone call away a couple miles down the street, and he knows the offense and he knows what's going on. So if you do need that roster spot, I just think Charlie Batch is at risk here.
Yes, most definitely. And you know, hey, he doesn't want to go anywhere else. You know, the guy knows that, you know, if they give him a wink and a handshake, you know, like they've done, you know, he's been part of the weekend roster roulette, type thing with the Steelers over the previous years, him and Byron Leftwich too, the old, out on Friday, back on Monday, type thing. So, you know, it would only be a team like the Cardinals or something crazy like that. And you know, if it would have to be more than a minimum, I would think, to entice him to do that. Of course, now Charlie does supposedly need some money. So, you know, if somebody calls, you have to wonder if he would pick up the phone and answer it. But, you know, with the injuries now to Stephenson Sylvester, with the injury now to David DeCastro, not knowing the status of Worlds or Harrison for week one, you already have Ryan Clark down for week one. They get thin real, real quick, and I'm with you. Now, this is a move that I did not think would have happened a few weeks ago, but funny how injuries can change things in a heartbeat. Roster spots get real, real thin. I think Jared Johnson has done enough to warrant a practice squad spot just in case you lose Charlie. And if you lose Charlie, you lose Charlie. Then the kid Jared Johnson, as soon as you get enough roster spots available, you activate him through to the 53-man roster at that point. Now that, of course, would more than likely be a while, and he's pretty safe on the practice squad, or at least should be. But, yeah, I think this is a way you can create another roster spot here, and along with, you know, just carrying four wide receivers in addition there. And, you know, I think it's very, very likely now for that to happen with just two quarterbacks.
Okay, Dave, and then in terms of injuries coming out of the game, the DeCastro one's the big one. We've discussed that. Anything else that we should note? There were five guys, I guess, who missed practice yesterday.
Yeah, and none of them are supposed to be regarded as serious. And let's face it, how much playing time are these guys going to get this week anyway? But Mike Thomas treating this week as a normal week, he says. In other words, yesterday was his Wednesday practice, even though it was on a Monday, trying to simulate as much as they can to the in-season type stuff. Brett Kiesel with that, Mike Tomlin called it a mild high ankle sprain. And, you know, leave it to Tomlin to have, you know, designations like that. But, you know, Brett Kiesel with the ankle, he's not going to play in this Panthers game. You can go ahead and mark that down right now. You know, the goal is to get him ready for the Denver game. Running back Isaac Redman also has an ankle. He would be a guy that if he does suit up, I would only expect one series with the offense. I think Tomlin even let it be known, or the players are letting it be known that they think they're being asked to play at least one series in this game on Thursday. So Jericho Cotchery, a little bit of a back stiffness, I guess. Woodley has a little bit of a back stiffness, and Marcus Gilbert turned his ankle, it looks like, and hopefully it wasn't on the play that he tangled feet with David DeCastro, because he sure was behind him on that play, and those feet seemed to get a little mixed up there. But Tomlin did not give an update on Jeremy Kapanos, on James Harrison, on Jason Worlds, and Stephenson Sylvester, and pretty much he just referred to that group as saying, they are what they are. So, you know, we're all day to day, David, and we're all, some of us are lucky enough to be week to week.
Dave, let's go. I talked about this, I think, a little bit in the last one. I think, unfortunately, we throw the DeCastro injury into the conversation. But what's your sense?
Hey, it was looking like a DeCastro industry, too, for a while before he went down.
It was. And now, so we've got two guys basically lost for the year in DeCastro and David Johnson. We've got two guys who had a chance to make the 53 in John Clay and Morty Ivey, who are no longer with the organization, apparently. And we've got a couple of guys who have come back from the pup list faster than expected, and we've got World slower than expected, and we've got the big question mark with James Harrison, although all signs point to him being kind of nip and tuck in terms of being ready for the Denver game. What's your assessment of the team physically, where they are today versus where they were at the start of camp?
Overall, not bad. I just wish we knew more. I mean, the DeCastro injury is brutal. I mean, let's face it, it's brutal. But at least, and people are going to get mad at me saying this, at least it was an interior guard position. Much rather have an injury like that happen to a guard than I would a starting tackle, because you know, I think guard is a more, I hate to say, easily replaceable, but I think...
In terms of the Steelers' depth, it certainly is, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, the linebacker situation, I've said all along that this outside linebacker position is brutal right now as far as depth goes. James Harrison, as I mentioned before, if this guy plays week one against Denver, he's not going to be able to play 60 snaps. So you're going to have Chris Carter get a good bunch of those snaps out there. Jason Worlds, this is a guy that doesn't – let me tell you, he's playing stupid real, real good with the media. You know, Tomlin, you know, getting all these guys about talking to the media. I'm starting to think there's a good shot that Jason Worlds starts the season off on PUP, David. Something about that wrist – hinging and face. Let's face it. If he's not able to lift because of that wrist, now we don't know whether he is or he isn't. But you know, if they're taking sort of precautions such as that, you know, it's going to take him a while to get not only in game shape, but probably a little bit in physical shape too. And you know, I go back to those comments that Keith Butler made to you. It sounded a whole heck of a lot that he needed Worlds on the field taking some reps before he gets any playing time. And
yeah, you know what's interesting, Dave, is we're not one iota in a different spot than where we were when I talked to Keith Butler 3 weeks ago. We don't know one thing more.
And even worse, Stevenson Sylvester sideline now.
Well, I just mean in terms of Worlds specifically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well,
we don't know one thing different than we knew 3 weeks ago.
And we assume that he's still allowed to work out on the side, you know.
Yeah. His wrist injury. I mean, I've seen him. You know, I've seen him work on the side, and he's been. You know, again, you know, hopefully the cardio thing isn't a big deal. But as you said, Butler talked about him needing the reps, and we just have got no update on that injury. And I'm going to come back to this. I think today, depending on how they count practices from here to whenever, if they count today as an acclimation day for Mike Wallace, and tomorrow would be acclimation day two, and Thursday the game would be acclimation day three, he can come back. The team has a bunch of days off over the weekend, and they go back at it. I think Monday is their practice day going into the Sunday game in Denver. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think I'm guessing now that I've thought about the exact numbers, I'm guessing Harrison comes off the pup list today. I'll be interested to see what happens with these guys. If they don't, then we have to start asking more questions.
It would have to be today, but there, I mean, why would you do it today? Because the acclimation period, as you said, for them to be able to practice.
It's just like Mike Wallace signing today allows him to practice a full week next week. So you'd think if they're going to do that, thinking ahead like they did with Max Starks and stuff, that today might be the day.
Yeah, and if it's not, then exactly.
We got questions.
Yeah, you got tons of questions. Then you know at least probably that they're going to be down against Denver. Now James Harrison said as early as what yesterday he still sees himself playing, but either today or tomorrow you would think they'd have to get pulled off of the PUP there. If they don't, then you know, Worlds, I just don't know with this guy. I mean, it's been this way for months, man. I mean, it's just so confusing. Harrison, I think, is going to be ready within 6 weeks. There's going to be no reason to put him on PUP. Now, he's going to – I still think James Harrison is going to miss more games throughout the season with either this knee / back. But I'm worried about Worlds here. And if they have to, you know, if they have to put him on PUP – then your thin outside linebacker position got even thinner.
Yeah. okay.
But yeah, we'll watch today. Today and tomorrow, the key days with the pup list.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the game. And I kind of we'll do it a little differently when we get to the regular season. But I think because of the way we've set things up in the preseason, I think the format was good the way we talked about things last week. And let's go through the offensive side of the ball. And let's again start with the offensive line, because I think obviously with the DeCastro injury, it's an issue. They didn't look great their first five possessions with the ball. And in fact, I'm sure you're going to agree with me that Marcus Gilbert wasn't particularly good, but we saw some things. We saw Max Stark get some reps. Having gone through the tape and stuff, what's your assessment of how the group played?
Offensive line as a whole played well. I just posted my offensive line grades this morning. Let me tell you, let's start with the starters here first. Willie Colon, it was not his best game, but still it wasn't a bad game. It had some problems, mostly with some run blocks. Hey, let's face it, and I posted this last night on Twitter, Kyle Williams is an impressive human being for the Buffalo Bills, their defensive tackle. This is the guy that wrecked havoc on Chris Kimoatu last time the two teams played. And Kyle Williams is no joke. I mean, this guy, when healthy, is one of the best defensive tackles in the league. But overall, I thought Cologne played well. He got put on skates one time by Kyle Williams at the beginning of that two-minute drill drive that ended in a touchdown there. Overall, he just didn't look like he felt comfortable. I don't know if it was on the turf. He just looked like he's moving a little sluggish, pulling to the right, not necessarily fluid, in my opinion. The rest of the starters, I thought Pouncey had a good game there. He had a hold on Kyle Williams that he was flagged for. Marcus Gilbert, I've seen better games from Marcus Gilbert. He, of course, gave up the pressure early on the same play that DeCastro injured his knee, and of course they tangled feet there. I'm not going to blame that on Marcus Gilbert, because stuff like that happens. But it just so happens, it seems like two of our guys that are on IR right now or could be on IR. DeCastro's not on IR, but David Johnson, of course, is on IR. Marcus Gilbert was around both those guys, so I bet a lot of grape juice gets spilled around Marcus Gilbert's house on the carpet. looking at some of these other guys, David, Mike Adams, great game for this kid. I mean, it was encouraging to see this type of game from him. Used his hands a lot better in this game. His pass sets, I thought, were much better. His angles were much better. There's one play in particular that really, really, really put a feather in his cap, and that was that little slip screen to Derek Williams, kind of later on in the ball game there, the one that Derek Williams scored on. It was great blocks by both Mike Adams and Wesley Saunders on that play out in space there. But Adams, I thought, graded out absolutely fantastic. I have him out of 21 snaps, only two demerits in his column there. A few of the others on down the line, Kelvin Beecham, he just looks like he has problems. It looks like every snap with him is a war. I mean, it looks like sometimes he's just trying to ball. Looks like no technique whatsoever. But with Beecham, it just looks like it's so hard for him to get out of that phone booth and out into the second level there. And this is a kid that's not going to make the 53-man roster. I think it's, with the DeCastro injury and all, I think it's best for them to keep Trey Essex instead, who had his best game of the preseason in that game as well, too. So overall, David, I thought the offensive line played well in this game. We didn't see a lot of the late guys like Ryan Lee until, last series. They got like three plays in there, some of those guys. But, overall, it was good. Now, as far as the rest of the offense, I thought quarterback play was, phenomenal. A couple of the early drops by Antonio Brown were certainly not the fault of Ben Roethlisberger. He also had a drop by Emmanuel Sanders down the right sideline. That was a perfectly thrown ball as well, too. The quarterback play, I believe, too, I think all four of the quarterbacks have combined for the best quarterback rating thus far during the preseason in the league. So that's pretty astounding right there when you think about it. Even though it is preseason and none of this matters, I mean, it's a good sign that you're getting good quarterback play there. When Byron Leftwich came in, what can you say? He just put a dart right there to Antonio Brown on the first play after the Troy Polamalu turnover there in the second half. The receivers, I thought, outside of the three drops that we mentioned there, I thought they played well. We saw Jericho Cotri mixed in there. Not much not to like outside of the drops there. The tight end play, Heath Miller played well. Leonard Pope seemed to be blocking a little bit better in this game. David Paulson, I think he really now has a really, really good shot at making the 53-man roster.
Yeah, let's talk about him because we kind of glossed over the two tight end moves with the McCoy and the Peel cut. And, I said one of the things that I noticed in camp is for whatever reason, Mike Tomlin used to seem to take a liking to David Paulson. And, I haven't been around Tomlin or enough camps to know if that was unusual or not, or it's just a couple of days of encouragement he was trying to give the guy. But with Wes Saunders going on the reserve suspended list for the first 4 weeks, and again, I think, Dave, you were the first I heard to point this out. This is 4 weeks, not four games, so there's a benefit there in the sense that he'll only miss three games, although he'll miss four paychecks. David Paulson does have a real chance to possibly make this roster.
Yeah, and, it makes sense, too, because you give him, a few weeks on the active roster, and then, slide him possibly to the practice squad when Wesley Saunders comes back. But, looking at it from another aspect, too, yes, he is more of a receiving tight end than he is a blocking tight end. But, if you're only going to carry four wide receivers on the roster, you can consider both him and Chris Rainey as emergency wide receivers and line them up, and split them out wide. So that's just another reason why you would carry him. And the Steelers don't use a lot of three tight end sets with Todd Haley's offense, and Paulson's not going to be a guy that you're going to put back there in fullback, because if Will Johnson goes down, they'll either run the rest of the game without a fullback, or they'll put Leonard Pope back there when they need that to happen back there. But yeah, I'm with you now. After seeing what's kind of, the dancing that the fullbacks have had, with the injury to David Johnson, and with McCoy being cut, I really do like the chances of Paulson to make the 53-man roster, at least initially.
And then we've got the whole running back situation. Baron Batts, we've decided Baron Batts is going to make this roster, right?
Yeah, much like David Paulson, playing real early on all special teams units. I mean, and he really hasn't disappointed. He's usually one of the first guys downfield on special teams there. As well, and he had a better yards per carry, I think, in this last game. But most of the good snaps that he's been getting has been behind second and third string offensive lines, and they're really testing out that knee, and he looks fine there. So I think they do indeed carry the five running backs, because let's face it, we're not expecting Rashard Mendenhall to be healthy 100% until after the bye week. Let me tell you about that kid, Jonathan Dwyer, and this dates back to our podcast really. Prior to last season, David, we always talked about, we had confidence that Jonathan Dwyer could run between the tackles and do things with the football. That was never a question of ours. A question of ours was what he did when he did not have the football in his hands. And let me tell you right now, this kid is excelling in all areas of that game. All you need to do is point out this week was the touchdown pass from Leftwich to Brown, early in that second half. There was a free runner on the outside. It was a play action play. Dwyer sticks, a nice little chop block there, takes the guy off of his feet. And if not for that block, that play, Leftwich probably has to avoid some pressure, which throws off the entire timing of the play. At the very least, Leftwich would take one heck of a hit on that play. So Dwyer has had a tremendous preseason, has been the most spectacular running back, if you ask me. I know Rainey's had some nice big runs, but I think Dwyer's been the most complete back overall. So I think they do keep the five running backs out of training camp. But, I just want to make sure we get it out there enough that, this is a kid that we talked a bunch about worrying about how he would do without the football in his hands last year, and now he has turned that corner in every aspect.
Yeah, and there's you have to, it's a little early to be looking ahead to the 2013 season, but it's not out of the question that Jonathan Dwyer is your feature back in 2013. Of course, we'll see what Isaac Redman does. We'll see where the Mendenhall situation goes. But with the steps he's taken forward, as you pointed out, and with what he can do with the ball in his hands, he is a guy who could be that guy. Dave, on the fringes of the wide receiver group, it looks like Derek Williams and David Gilray are the guys kind of battling for a last spot. Of course, we've got Chris Rennie on the squad. It looks like Tony Clements just hasn't done enough, and he's going to be a practice squad guy. Any thoughts on Williams, Derek Williams versus Gilray?
I still think they're going to carry four, David, and Derek Williams is not eligible for the practice squad. So that leaves you with, did you see enough from Gilreath to warrant putting him on a practice squad, or did you see enough from Tony Clemens to think that you can develop this kid into something down the line? Marquise Mays, he's gone. He's not. I'd be surprised if he made the practice squad. Unfortunately for Derek Williams, it was a good run, but I don't think it was good enough, and I don't think they're going to keep five wide receivers. So, you know, flip your coin between Gilreath and Tony Clemens, and I think because what Gilreath might give you in some return aspects of the game, kickoff in particular, I think he might be your guy. So, you know, to me, that's a coin flip there.
All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Defensive line play, Ziggy Hood's taken. Ziggy Hood is stepping forward. We know what we've liked Cam Hayward. What did you see from these guys? Anything more from McClendon to note in the game against the Bills?
I thought pressure up front was absolutely incredible in that game. Ryan Fitzpatrick, they had under pressure quite a bit. They got a couple, thanks to some guys up front occupying blockers. We saw some delayed blitzes, one in particular on Lawrence Timmons where he just planted Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I believe even Chan Gailey said at halftime in some of his quotes that, hey, we got to quit. We got to find a way of not getting our quarterback hit here. And Ziggy Hood had at least one pass tipped. I'm trying to slow down that film a little bit to see if he actually got the second one or the first one in the game there. But he also had the fumble recovery. He had a couple of tackles, had some good pressure. Ziggy's just really, really playing good. Steve McClendon continues his fine play. Brett Kiesel was pushing the pocket before he left the game with the ankle injury there. So, and let me tell you, David, this one of the position battles that we highlighted all offseason here was Corbin Bryant versus Al Woods. And let me tell you, you got me how this one's going to shake out right now. Corbin Bryant's had a couple of nice games. Al Woods has had a couple of nice games.
And Dave, I think it's gone back and forth. I think Al Woods had the early lead, and then Corbin Bryant, maybe a lot of people thought that he had stepped ahead after the second exhibition game. I'm with you. I'll flip a coin. I have no idea where this one goes.
Yeah, and it's a dead heat. And you know what? I'm going to be fine whichever way this goes. I think the only reason I keep wanting to give a nod to Al Woods here is just simply because Corbin Bryant has practice squad eligibility. But, you know, that's not a good way to think of things. You want the best 53-man on your roster that you can get. So if that means having to part ways with Al Woods, regardless how much practice squad time Corbin Bryant has, well, then so be it. But this is really a good dead heat, and it's been fun to kind of watch this, and it makes you feel good that this is basically your fourth defensive end and guys that can play possibly in the nickel too if need be as a defensive tackle there. But yeah, I mean, this can be fun to watch on through the Panthers game.
Yeah, and one of the things, I don't know if they'll how much consideration they'll put into this, but if we assume Ta'amu is not going to be dressing for games, whoever that other guy is possibly, very possibly, going to be dressing for games. So, as you say, it's not so much a cut and dry, put the guy in the practice squad because they're even and keep them both around. I mean, the guy who makes the roster may very well be contributing on a game-by-game basis.
Yeah, and, you know, another reason it makes me think it might be Al Woods. And, you know, they very well might try to get away with the first couple of weeks with only three nose tackles and three defensive ends. I guess we can't rule that out. And neither one of these guys are making the roster. And the reason I say that is because Steve McClendon gives you the ability. He's played a lot of the five technique, three and five technique as well in the nickel situations. He's a very versatile guy. And if Casey Hampton gets 100%, you could, what you could do is you could have Casey on out there on the rundowns, and or you know, on the early rundowns, and then you can roll Steve McClendon out in just the nickel type situations. And then, of course, if you lose a defensive end like Ziggy Hood or Brett Kiesel, Cam Hayward's your next guy up. And if you lose another one, then you have Steve McClendon could play one of those defensive end spots. So I guess we should not rule out, at least initially, the Steelers only carrying six defensive linemen.
Right. And the other guy, the guy we've discussed, we haven't discussed Stoller or Igbinison at all in camp. The kid from Yale, the kid from Southern Connecticut State. I don't think Scholar's going to even sniff the practice squad. But Igbinison is a guy who potentially could go to the practice squad. So
I don't see it.
He's an outside guy, and it depends on what they do with these guys. But these two guys made the cut. It'll depend on kind of, I think, where they see Casey Hampton, where they see everybody health-wise, Ta'amu. But just another guy, just to put a name out there that we haven't mentioned the whole preseason to watch for in this last preseason game. Dave, when we get to, you know, the linebackers we've discussed a lot, but the defensive backs we really haven't discussed a lot. We know who the three corners are on the side opposite Ike, and I think all of them have had good camps. Of course, Curtis Brown was not particularly impressive in that Eagles game, made a couple mistakes that led to back-to-back touchdowns. Okay, it happens. But, you know, other than that, he's done reasonably well. Both Keenan Lewis and Cortez Allen have been good, and maybe even very good. Ike Taylor's been Ike Taylor. So the cornerback position feels comfortable. The safety position, I think we know who the starters are. We know Ryan Clark's not going to be there. We know Ryan Mundy's the next guy up. But the guy who's really stepped forward is Robert Golden, the rookie free agent out of Arizona. And he's going to be battling with Will Allen for a spot. And then you've got Damon Cromartie-Smith. And then in the corner position, you've got Terrence Frederick, is the seventh-round pick out of A&M, who might be the guy who's considered the fifth corner. Thoughts on where the Steelers are now and where they're going with this group?
Cornerbacks look absolutely fantastic right now, your top four. And here's another thing in that game the other night, David. We saw Dick LeBeau bust out the dime for the first time. And in two different instances, I noticed, one time Lawrence Timmons came off, and another time Larry Foote came off on those. Initially, I thought it was Ryan Clark that came off in there, but when go back and finally can see some of these numbers of players and all and take a better look at the film, it was one of the inside linebackers that was coming off in the dime there. So we actually had instances where we saw Keenan Lewis, Cortez Allen, Curtis Brown, and Ike Taylor all on the field. And that's something that we've been talking about all offseason, that there was going to be instances where we saw all four guys on the field. And, you know, that's encouraging to get them dime snaps in the preseason like that in some press man coverage. And that's what we saw during those instances, you know, with a little bit of help over the top there. So, you know, the thing is, though, if you're going to play that, and more than likely that's going to get played probably against Denver, I would think you would see some dime against that, because Peyton Manning would just pick a zone nickel apart, in my opinion, if he has any pressure. But it's good to see that. And Cortez Allen, this guy just glides, and he uses his body so well on shielding the receiver and forcing him to the sideline. I mean, it's just been very, very impressive, the snaps that he got outside and in the nickel thus far during preseason. So Curtis Brown, you know, although not flashy, I thought outside of that first game against the Eagles, I really thought he had a solid preseason, as did Keenan Lewis and as did Ike Taylor. Now, there's been some missed tackles in there by Ike Taylor, but, you know, just got to learn to wrap up better and not try to ankle bite so much when you go after these tackles. The safety position, boy, has Robert Golden done enough? I mean, are they going to keep five safeties out of training camp because of Ryan Clark being down that first week? Are they going to keep five cornerbacks? You know, is Terrence Frederick going to make this roster as a fifth guy, or is he a guy that you go into a game with four cornerbacks there and just hope none get injured in the first game, you know, with Terrence Frederick? So, you know, yeah, Golden and Cromartie-Smith is the battle to watch there. I think Cromartie-Smith has gotten the early special teams time. But, you know, one thing, if anything, that I think we can pick out of this Panthers game, David, especially with Amos Jones being the new special teams coordinator, is, you know, you would think that he would roll out what he believes to be his best units early on in this game to get a look at him. So maybe we can cheat at the teacher's 53-man roster cheat sheet here by looking at how these, the players that are out there early on in special teams in this game.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. We'll see that. And then the last, and certainly not the least, is going to be the punting situation. And Jeremy Capinos has not been seen nor heard from. And you have to think that if he's not practicing this week and getting a fair number of the snaps, that by default, if nothing else, that Drew Butler is going to get the job. Now, we saw a lot of kickers cut around the league in the past couple of days. We saw what happened in Washington. They went ahead and signed Billy Cundiff. And that left that they didn't even keep Graham Gano. They cut Rackers yesterday, and they cut Graham Gano this morning. So those two guys are out there along with Alindo Mari and Josh Brown. So they're kickers on the market. We'll certainly see a bunch of punters on the market. We'll see how comfortable the Steelers are. But if Capinos isn't ready to go on Monday, Dave, is there even a chance they bring somebody in to practice this week against Drew Butler? Or do you think he's done enough that they'll feel comfortable going in with him on week one?
I don't know if uncomfortable is a good word, but I think, like you said, I think it's by default. And, you know, maybe they're not worried about wearing out, you know, giving him camp leg or anything like that. I would be surprised if they signed someone right now to, you know, to come in here. And Capinos, you can't make the club in a tub. And I think you don't want to set yourself up to carry this guy, and then 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the season, his back acts up, and then you have to throw him on IR and waste some money that way. So I think this is Drew Butler's job. It hasn't been a great preseason for him consistency wise, but he has boomed a few on top of it. I think he needs to work on his directional stuff. Boy, what a good job that Buffalo punter did this week, huh? I mean, great angles there. I mean, it just seemed like every time they either kicked off to us or punted to us that we never got a chance to return even some.
Who is that? Mormon in Buffalo? Is that
they've got two of them over there. It seemed like battling for that job over there. I don't have that pulled up in front of me. It seemed like they had two of them. And I don't know, maybe if this other guy gets cut by them, you know, maybe we need to look at him. I'm trying to pull up his name right now.
Dave, let me play a little. Let's play some of the games I like to play here when we get to guys. We'll play some of the roster games. I'm going to give you a name, and you give me a yes, no. Is he going to make the team, or is he going to get cut? Baron Batch.
Real quick, the guy's name was Powell. Powell and Mormon over there. So watch whichever one of those guys get released over there as possible competition for Butler. Baron Batch, yes, going to make the 53-man roster.
David Paulson.
Yes. I wouldn't, you know, if you'd asked me last week, I would have gave you a maybe, but I'm gonna give you a yes on that today.
I'm with you with that. Tyler Byler, does he even see the practice squad?
No, I think I'd be surprised there.
Adrian Robinson.
You know what? Now that Morty Ivy's gone, that door's gotten open a little bit wider for him. I think, especially if Worlds is not ready, David, I think Adrian Robinson might have a chance to at least make the 53-man roster, at least for the first few weeks there. I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on a yes there. Robert Golden.
Man, these are tough ones, teacher.
These are the ones that matter.
These are tough ones, teacher. I've thoroughly been impressed with him. I just kind of have been thinking he's going to be practice squad all of along. But you know what? I think he's shown enough as a free safety type now and – you know, Damon Cromartie-Smith is more of a strong safety type, and I think if anything was to happen in this game against Denver, they have enough players that could play kind of the strong safety role. So, you know what? I'm going to put Golden on my 53-man roster. Give me a yes there.
Trey Essex make the team because of DeCastro's injury?
Yes, I think he does. I had him out initially, but I think now they carry nine. If they carry DeCastro on the 53-man roster, they're going to carry nine offensive linemen, in my opinion. So I think Trey Essex got a stay of execution there.
And I'm with you on all of these so far. And the last one is, I think we're going to disagree on this one, is David Gilraith. I think you probably have him to the practice squad, and I got him to the 53.
Exactly. I just think with keeping Paulson and keeping Chris Rainey and five running backs, I think it makes it, you know, I just don't think, we haven't seen Todd Haley run many four wide receiver sets whatsoever. He likes to use those tight ends and those formations that we've seen. So, you know, they could stomach a few injuries there by carrying four. So, no, I don't think they keep any fourth or fifth wide receiver here. I think they try to put one on the practice squad there.
All right, Dave. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of put us in good shape for the Carolina game on Thursday. There have been a bunch of cuts around the league. I thought one of the more interesting things we've seen is New England continues to kind of do interesting stuff. They extended Aaron Hernandez last night, so they've extended now Gronk and Hernandez. They have the dynamite pair of tight ends. They cut, not surprisingly, Donta Stallworth, but they should cut Jabbar Gaffney, and then they were awarded a kid on waivers from the Vikings, a wide receiver who I'd never heard of. So I just found that to be a little bit unusual, cutting a guy like Gaffney, who was productive with Washington. And we've talked a bunch of times here in the offseason about that whole list of guys that they signed to bring in for competition, including Anthony Gonzalez and a few other guys that we've heard of with NFL experience. And here they go and take a kid who didn't make the 75-man cut for the Minnesota Vikings and claim him off waivers. So
same reason with DeJuan Harris with the Steelers. Getting them off the waiver wire, they're already acclimated per CBA. So, you know, these teams are going to be needing bodies in this final preseason game. So if they sign somebody off the street, those guys have to go through an acclimation period and probably not going to be able to play in the game. So you have to get somebody off of waivers to come in and serve as a body.
Well, I was surprised they cut two of their own wide receivers and then picked up a guy who didn't make the Vikings 75. They had wide receivers in Gaffney and Stallworth. They could have kept around another week.
Well, maybe we're seeing a little heart by Belichick by at least giving these guys another week to catch on instead of waiting until the.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of. That's a possibility. As you pointed out, Vince Young, sayonara, no surprise.
Hey, this guy went from, I posted a couple times on Twitter during that game. You know, I think they just finally figured out that the Vince Young that they got was the same Vince Young that played for the Titans.
right.
How the heck they figured this guy was going to be their number two quarterback, I do not know. Now, they went out and traded for Tavares Jackson. To me, I don't know how much of an upgrade that actually is there. And then Thigpen's backing up Fitzpatrick. Let me tell you.
Yeah, they'll probably be on the waiver wire again this week. But, I like Tavares Jackson. I think, you know, he's bounced around. He's never really had a shot. He's certainly think he's better than Vince Young. But, yeah, they've got issues there. Ryan Fitzpatrick better stay healthy. He better play better than he did in the second half last year. Other moves that we saw, a couple pup moves in the division. Terrell Suggs is on the pup as expected. He's been targeting November, but he's not going to play this year, I don't think. We saw Phil Taylor of the Browns goes on, and he's going to miss the early part of the season. He had that torn, I think, a pectoral muscle early in the offseason. There's a chance he comes back later in the year. A few other names, Detroit running back, Javid Best, Jaguars linebacker Clint Sessions, and then, you know, as we talked about, a bunch of kickers on the waiver wire. But they're going to be 704 guys, Dave, who get cut on Friday. And, you know, the Steelers are not a team that's generally looking to upgrade, but they do have some issues at this kind of tight end fullback position. They do have a question mark maybe in the punting game. So don't be and certainly, as you pointed out all along, the linebacker position, even though they probably won't go there, just if an unusual name gets out there, be sure that Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin are going to read all 704 names and look at these guys when things happen on Friday. It's going to be an interesting week, and we will certainly bring you another update Friday, and then we're going to go full speed starting Monday three times a week. And that's about where we are, Dave, going into the game Thursday.
Yeah, just a big thing that you want now is to keep just everybody, no more injuries right now. I'm not sure I would even play the starters a series. If I do, they're all going to be running plays, kind of crashing down inside, just to allow people to work their legs out. But look for a lot. And here's another thing, David. You know, Charlie Batch was scheduled to play in that third preseason game against the Bills, and he didn't. And that was after, of course, David DeCastro went down. Now, here's the thing to watch. If Charlie Batch does not get any snaps in this Panthers game, it's because they don't want to risk him getting injured and having to go to IR where they would have to pay him a guaranteed that salary. So if Charlie Batch does not get any snaps, if they go just Roethlisberger for a series to Leftwich for a two series and then throw Jared Johnson back in for the rest of the game, that's a good sign that Charlie Batch is not going to make this 53-man roster.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Again, we'll see if we get some tells based on how playing time is divided. Dave, Mike Wallace hasn't reported. It's 10:30 on Tuesday morning. I don't think this is anything to be concerned about. Doesn't matter when he signs his contract. Ideally, that gets done today, but I don't know that he needed to be there at 9 o'clock versus 2 o'clock or any other o'clock during the day. I think we expect to see that signing happen. I did get in a little conversation. Jerry Rice, I guess, said that it's going to take 5 or 6 weeks to Mike Wallace to get up to full speed, which I found almost laughable. Obviously, everybody should have great respect for what Jerry Rice did in the game, but that didn't make any sense to me, and I don't hear any more of the foundation behind his thoughts on that. Before we close things up, do you have anything to say about that idea?
Oh, 5 weeks. I think Jerry Rice was thinking maybe it would take him 5 to 6 weeks right now to get acclimated and back on the playing field. But look,
however old he is, right?
Yeah, let's face it. I mean, The playbook's going to be scaled down to start with for Mike Wallace, but it's not like that position on the outside's asked to do terribly too much. You know, there are the hot reads, there is the timing issue and all like that. But he might not get targeted a lot in the first couple of games here, but he should be able to pick this thing up pretty easily as time goes on. And definitely by the time this team comes out of the bye week, this should be Mike Wallace, right where you would expect him to be. So I'm gonna say I disagree with Jerry Rice for the block.
All right, I disagree with you too. Okay, well we keep promising to get to some of these questions and letters, but we have gone well past our allotted time today. So with three shows coming up next week, we'll get to some more of this stuff, but keep them coming. Thank you for the continued donations. Dave, anything else to add before we close it up?
No, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David at Hammer Speaks. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. There's a button up top to the right. If you want to just go straight to PayPal and donate, you can donate to the email address admin@SteelersDepot.com. Please make sure you're listening to David on ESPN 975 days a week.
Starting tomorrow, 2 to 4 Steeler Talk from 3 to 4. I'll also be on Steelers.com and Steelers Nation Radio. That there'll be the second hour will be simulcast, and we'll have a college football show on this week, 4 to 6 at the Rivers Casino for Pitt's home opener. And I'll be 4 hours before every Steeler home, before every Steeler game this season on 970 doing a pregame show. So if you want to hear it first, and we'll certainly have Dave on some of those, you can hear it with me on 970 4 hours before kickoff.
And your buddy, our buddy Bob from Canada, checked back in. David, he's one of our regulars here, and he wanted to wish you congratulate you and wish you all the best of luck on your new show and all too. So Bob, good to hear from you again. Bob from Canada, stay in touch there.
Yeah, I did. I sent him a note back this morning. I appreciate that, and I appreciate all the support I've gotten from everybody. The Terrible Podcast is a big reason I am where I am and when things are getting started, and thanks to Dave and all our listeners. And I think there's a nice press release coming out from 970 today or tomorrow, and I think it mentions the Terrible Podcast. So a little nice PR for us as well. So thanks for everything, and as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.